The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back, my friends. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer. You're listening to the National Intel Report Friday edition on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining us tonight. So we have Bill in California, and he's giving a really great, you know, easy to understand the whole big picture, you know, where the court system has gone wrong and how we've been usurped by a private organization loyal to London, not America. That's the long and short. Before we get into this next hour, we got a little time, and what I'm about to do, I do not do this to give credit to myself. I do this to give credit to RBN, because RBN is the platform, and without it, I could have never been beating the drum about COVID venom not a week or two ago, a month or two ago, and longer even before that, when I did Ingrid's show. And this has to be said, because, you know, there's a lot of outfits out there like InfoWars and Stu Peters all claiming, you know, this is all, you know, big news and the world changed now. I was 2, 3, 4 months ago talking about the snake venom in the vaccine. And that's how it's getting in the water supply. These guys still aren't getting it. They're missing it. The stuff is in the vaccine, the venom. That's being urinated by people out into the water supply because it's not getting filtered at the water treatment plant. Water treatment plants aren't meant to filter out snake venom components. So, Mike, I want you, just as evidence that, you know, we were talking about this at RBN long before any of these other Johnny-come-latelys have come out and started talking about the snake venom. Mike, you have that clip of me, and how long ago was it, Mike? Was it 4, 5, 6 weeks ago?
That was in it was March 5th.
March 5th. Okay, so that's a while ago. So that's you know, almost going on 2 months ago. So go ahead, play that clip, Mike, if you might.
If anybody out there is in front of a computer right now, and I know not all of you are, some of you are, so open up your start page search engine. I'm going to do it right now with you, and I also have this written down on paper, so I'm going to open that up right now as well, in case the computer thing doesn't work. But I'd like you to type in to your start page search engine the following words: COVID-19 snake venom. I'm looking for my notes, and I can't find them now. I want you to type in COVID-19 snake venom, all right? And I'm going to do it right with y'all folks here, so this is just going to take a little minute. Okay, if I can't bring this up right away. No, we have internet service. Looks good. All right, let's see if we can do this. Here we go. Start page. Going to take a minute to kick in. So multiple entities are doing research that involves taking peptides and other DNA material. Here's one. Snake venom phospholipases A2 possess a strong virucidal activity against SARS-CoV-2 in vitro, and it blocks the cell fusion. That's from new-medical.net. So, is it any wonder that people are having heart trouble, heart failure, cardiovascular collapse? That is exactly what the snake venom components do when they kill you. When you get bit by a poisonous snake, that's what happens. It causes cardiovascular failure. So I think the big news in the vaccine is that the fact that they're putting snake venom components into that COVID-19 shot. Of course, it's for therapeutic purposes. So we type in COVID, COV. I just want to do this live time so people can walk through it with me or maybe do it later. And the word snake. Dave Pruitt, are you with us, by the way? See if we have Dave Pruitt. Dave, are you here while I'm typing? Get Dave in a second. If Dave has trouble calling in, we might reach out to him. Okay, so here we go. Bioactive, this is from pubmed.ncbi.mnlm.nih.gov. I guess it's coming out of the National Institute of Health. They're admitting it. Bioactive molecules derived from snake venoms with therapeutic potential for the treatment of thrombocardiovascular disorders associated with COVID-19. I mean, people, common sense tells you that snake venom is not going to have therapeutic potential for treatment of thrombocardiovascular disorders. It sounds to me like it's going to cause it. I'm not a medical professional or researcher, but I know what snake venom does. And it's pretty clear there's no component of it that can be good for you. Once you inject this biological material, the DNA of this serpent is going to be in your genetics. It's going to intertwine. And with all the genetic programming mechanisms that are in this shot, your body's going to start making the very thing that, of course, we know it's going to be making the spike protein. It's also going to be making components of the snake venom. I don't care how little of a component you extract from it. The body's not stupid. Let me just put it bluntly. The body knows when you're injecting the genetic material of an animal or a serpent or a fish or whatever. Common sense tells you that. Argue with me. Come on. I'll be nice about it. Come on. I'll take a call if somebody's going to argue with me and tell me that it's somehow good that they're going to put snake. I don't think I will get any calls on this one. I hope not. But if somebody sees the therapeutic potential in this, tell me what it is. Here's another one. This is also from PubMed. Potential therapeutics for COVID-19 associated with thrombosis. It's from Fierce Biotech. The link between COVID-19, rattlesnake venom, and a killer enzyme. University of Arizona professor Floyd Chilton, PhD, has been studying an enzyme related to rattlesnake venom for the last 30 years plus, and they're going to somehow incorporate it into that COVID-19 treatment. That sounds nice, rattlesnake venom. How about this? This is from Reuters. This is relatively mainstream news, so take it for what you will, but it says Brazilian viper venom may become tool in fight against COVID-19. Brazilian researchers have found that a molecule...
I want to make that right now. Thanks for indulging me that. I think I wanted to spend that, you know, seven minutes. You know, you heard it on RBN 2 months ago, okay? So there you go. So for all these Johnny-come-latelys to come along and act like that it's big news, the snake venom's out there, I mean, they obviously weren't doing much research. I mean, this information's been out there, and that was March 5th on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That was me, Eric, the Freedom Screamer, pounding the drum, follow the snake venom. Okay, so and how is it getting in the water supply? It's very unlikely that there's this giant special forces operation with thousands of special forces units dressed up as highway repair crews out there all spraying venom in the water supplies all at the same time. That's very unlikely. What is very likely is, based on all this evidence that they're putting snake venom in the COVID-19 vaccine, people are simply taking the serpent shot, the vaccine, so to speak, and they're urinating those components out into the water supply, and the water treatment plant, not designed to filter out components like snake venom. So that's what's happening, and I'm surprised that people that are getting that, they're trying to say that, you know, there's all these special operations going on, and there may be, but it's much more likely that it's just being urinated out of the people who took the shot because they've got the snake venom components in the vaccine. It's going to show up in the water supply. So anyway, there's the whole thing on the snake venom. We'll wrap that up, put that to rest. We'll go back with Bill now. And Bill, so we left off, great foundation that you laid out, very easy to understand for people how the system was corrupt and was usurped. And I think we left off at, we right now we are stuck in the worst of both worlds. We have the worst of admiralty law and the worst of
civil law.
Okay.
Just so people know, the civil law, what they call the civil law in this country today, is nothing more than Roman civil law that was used centuries ago. Okay, I mentioned Article 3, Section 2. It was Article 3, Section 2, where it says the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. Further down in two more paragraphs, it says the trial of all crimes, except in cases of impeachment, shall be by jury. The trial of all crimes shall be by jury. That statement, shall be by jury, is the law that you see in Section 2. The term law, when it sits alone by itself, means common law of the land. It's a complete separate system of law that is to be operated by the people themselves. Now, you can go to the United States versus Williams case. In 1994, it was decided. Justice Scalia wrote the decision for the majority of the judges on the bench on the Supreme Court at that time. And he says in his decisions that the American people have the unbridled right to impanel their own grand juries that operate independent of the legislative, executive, and judicial departments of government. That means it's our own. But we're not operating the system. We're sitting at home in front of the tube watching Disney World. We're supposed to be providing ourselves self-government. And the way we do that is through the independent grand and petit juries. And Scalia almost also made the statement in his decision that the decisions of the grand and petit independent juries are the consent of the people. Now, these courts, they're actually common law courts that operate in this jurisdiction of law, and guess what? No foreign agents allowed yet today. Foreign agents control all those courts, and our side of the court has been abandoned since 1860. We're a solutions-based organization, and we have scoured the content of old decisions coming out of these common law courts. And through that, we found the system. The judges, the older judges, through a series of statements within their decisions, we found, and we're trying to put together this operating manual, which is at the publishers. So, what's the importance? Earlier I said titles of nobility, no title of nobility. Well, the document that they found in Maine was the original Titles of Nobility 13th Amendment that was placed on the Senate record in 1810. It was finally ratified in 1819 by the proper number of states. We have all the documentation on them. Here's what it says, quote, if any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept or retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind from any person, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. That's all of those esquires that are not allowed to hold these offices, and they cease to be a citizen of the United States. Now, the other thing that was put in place is the Foreign Agents or the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. It was put in there for the people to be able to protect themselves from attack by foreign agents. One of the things that earlier our founders did, and this is later in 38, okay, they created a thing called a Foreign Agents Registration Act, better known as FARA, 1938. And in 1966, they revamped that And you can currently find the Foreign Agents Registration Act at 22 United States Code, subsection 185G and 263A, 286. Okay? You can find its implementing rules are located at 28 CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, at section 5.1. And you can find Treasury Delegation Order number 91, and when you put all those together, okay, what it basically says is that a public official is considered as a foreign agent. This is under 22 USC 611. A public official is considered a foreign agent. In order to hold a public office, the candidate must file a true and complete registration statement with the Attorney General as a foreign principal. Under Regulation 92.2, in 92.3, those public officials are also found under United States Code Title 8, Section 1481, loss of nationality by naturalized citizen, a voluntary action, burden of proof and presumptions, all public servants, okay, including congressmen, senators, politicians, legislators, officials, judges, attorneys, law enforcement, police officers, bailiffs, all of them, are express agents of a foreign principal, that foreign principal being the Crown of England, and it controls everything in your country. In a case called Rabinowitz, Victor Rabinowitz et al. Versus Robert F. Kennedy, you can find that at 376 U.S. 605. I'll repeat it. Victor Rabinowitz versus et al. Versus Robert F. Kennedy, 376 U.S. 605, quote, it is a clearly established principle of law that an attorney must represent a corporation, it being incorporeal and a creature of the law. An attorney representing an artificial entity must appear with the corporate charter in and the law in his hand. A person attacking or acting as an attorney or a foreign principal must be registered to act on the principal's behalf. And it refers to the Foreign Agent Registration Act at 22 U.S.C. 612. So we have all these people that are supposed to be registered as foreign agents, but what we discovered was there was a treaty signed in 1940 called the Havana Act. After the Havana Act, Department of Justice took over the foreign Department of Foreign Affairs within the Secretary of State's office was basically placed under the Department of Justice. And that Havana Act was done in 1940. And then what we find is in the Department of Justice and all these other offices and officers are now all United Nations agencies. They're all public offices and agents in this country in an act of December 29, 1945, called the International Organizations Immunities Act. All of those offices and officers were turned over to the control of the United Nations.
I want you to
ask any of the
Repeat that one more time. That's really important. That grabbed me the other day when you were talking about that. Repeat that one more time.
Yeah. Okay. The Department of Justice and all other offices and officers in the government, and this now includes all the state governments and county governments because they're all getting federal funding, okay? They were all, those agents and agencies and offices were all turned over to the United Nations and became United Nations agencies under the International Organization Immunities Act of December 29, 1945.
Now, got it.
And they're all Esquires.
Yeah. Hold with us, folks. Good information. We're going to be right back after this break. It's Eric the Freedom Streamer with Phil in California. TheAmericanVoice.org is his presence. We'll be right back after this break on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My friends, welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for the National Intel Report tonight. Hopefully we'll have another chance to do this in the future. Bill has so much information, like he says, on almost any one of these subtopics that he's talking about. He could open it up, you know, for another entire show. We're trying to get a consolidated presentation to educate people on how the system was corrupted, where it went wrong, and how it is a problem that people with an Esquire next to their name, it's not just a benign, you know, it's not a Halloween costume, you know, just for you-know-whats and grins. It means something. And what it means is agents of a foreign power that have usurped our system, period, end of story. And that's why, you know, you almost have to be an attorney or a lawyer to operate in these courts. They are so bogged down in procedural garbage set up by the bar that it's leaving people in a very hopeless position, because if you can't afford the top legal representation and, you know, you're on your own, and then, of course, the courts always like to make it more difficult on those who self-represent because you're taking money away from their gravy train. That being said, we got a couple of calls. I think we're going to, if Bill doesn't mind, I like to honor the callers because they're interested enough to call in, and if I can ask them to be brief, and if they have, you know, a good comment or a question, that would be helpful. So who do we have first, Mike, up online? Let's try to squeeze them both in before the bottom of the hour.
We have someone in
here? Go ahead, Patrick. Patrick, welcome to the show. What's happening, my friend?
Thank you much. This is really a delight here because this is what I live and breathe for. The Declaration of Independence is that you have created a multitude of agencies and sent your officers out to eat out our substance. It also says you have brought admiralty and vice-admiralty beyond its ancient limits. And that means it took sea jurisdiction and you were bringing it onto land. It's a different set of laws. We are basically law jurisdiction, common law. And that admiralty, that's like the Babylonian Talmudic law merchants, 6,000-year-old uniform commercial code. That's a very, absolutely, very tough law.
I got you. Let's get Bill's take on common law versus statutory law. I know it's an hour in and of itself, Bill, but give us the
I'll take your answer off the air.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Patrick. Bill, break that down about how common law has been usurped by the statutory and the admiralty.
Okay, well, the Admiralty Maritime Law is based and surrounds commerce. Okay, today the Admiralty is an international law. A decision from the Chinese Admiralty Court is binding on the United States courts, okay, because they're all operating in an international commerce. Our founding fathers knew that. That's why they set up this separate system of law. And it's a whole system. It has its own rules. It has its own judges. They have to be qualified. The grand jurors have to be qualified. They have to be tested. They have to be elected in their positions. It's a whole system. They have to be recognized. The sheriff has to be involved with this whole process. It's something that was set aside, okay, during the Civil War under the Reconstruction Acts. Now, that right was not removed from the Constitution. So it's still a right that we, the people at large, have the ability to exercise that. Now, and the reason I say that is because we, the people, are the elected representatives. We, the people, are the people that put them in office. Unfortunately for us, we lost our way. We don't have any properly elected sheriffs in our country. We don't have anybody that qualifies to be judges. There's not one judge, if you go back to the original text, there's not one judge in this country that qualifies to be a judge, especially in law, because they have to have to be a judge in law. They have to have a freehold interest estate in 500 acres or more of land. The common law is substance law. It's based on law and everything that happens on the land. It's based on the Ten Commandments and the Bill of Rights. It's a moral, as Edith Jones said. It's a religious obligation. Okay, our morality stems from that. We've lost our way. Under the original grants of constitutional law to the people, the reason it was done that is because you and I, as people, are supposed to have integrity. We've lost integrity in society. That's why we had to go to corporations. Corporations have no integrity. The attorneys have no integrity. The law itself on the Admiralty Maritime side has no integrity. They now have implemented, since the original grant was four jurisdictions, law, equity, admiralty, and maritime, they did away with law, so they slid in on the other end another jurisdiction, so it would still look like we had four, and it's called special maritime jurisdiction. And that jurisdiction is nothing more than the law of pirates, which the caller alluded to, okay, which were really originally put on the books and as the laws of Oleron, I think it was back in about 443 AD, somewhere in there. So we have this system.
They truly are engaging in inland piracy. Well, that's fascinating.
Oh, yes.
I can't believe you did that in 3 minutes. Excellent synopsis. We're going to get back. We still got a half hour left, so hang tight, folks. Take notes. We'll be right back with Derek, the Freedom Streamer, with Phil in California. We'll get to our next call after the break. Thanks for listening to the National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Day by day, night after night.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Xtendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Xtendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Xtendivite may just be for you. Xtendivite is an all-natural supplement. Xtendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer. You're listening to the National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're getting some great information from Bill in California. I do want to get to our next call, so we don't keep them waiting too long. Then we got a whole other half hour to continue down the road of history and all things legal, lawful, etc. Who do we have next on the line? Caller, you're up. Who is this?
Eric?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is John from Colorado. Great show, Bill. Thank you for all your great. I could talk the rest of the show and all this stuff. I've gotten a lot of that, and I've got your information. What I just want to comment: it originally started about the problems with the Christians in Lebanon and in that area. I've read about it for a long time, and this goes back to the media. Everyone's going on. It's all one-sided. The liberals, they tell you it's not fair and balanced. You don't get all the whole things, but going back to, I read that, especially with the Palestinians and all that, trying to get help, they're harassed by Israel and all that, even the Coptic Christians, Lebanon down into Egypt. But what what I want to say is, yeah, it'd be nice, the world, people could hear that. There's a rabbi and his assistant been going for years. First they started about the supposed Holocaust survivors in Israel that are hungry and have no food, and they're looking for support. It's Christians and Jews networks. I don't know if you've heard of it, but they're trying to get money to help them, supposedly. Then they started going into Ukraine and the Donbass region. Same thing, all Holocaust survivors, and they show them, you know, in dilapidated conditions. They need to raise money to help these people. And like I said, there's nothing about, like I said, the Christians are being persecuted all over. And I don't know, are you familiar with that? If not, what's your comment on that? They need more, they need help too. The world needs to know about all this.
Well, if you pay attention, Christians all over the world are being persecuted. This is a war between good and evil. Now, unfortunately for us here in the United States of America, the evil controls the judiciary, which also controls the law enforcement. So we're in a very precarious position here. What we're trying to do is wake up the sheriffs and the people and show them what the actual law said. What's going on in Israel and in Lebanon has been going on forever, and it's being covered up by the media. They don't want anybody to know, because what kind of outcry would happen if the world all of a sudden understood that the Christians are being sacrificed at the throne of the military-industrial complex? And that's what's happening. It's happening in Afghanistan. It's happening in Pakistan. It's happening in Lebanon. It's happening all over that area of the world. They're killing off all the Christians. And they're doing it in subtle ways so nobody knows how or why, and nobody's reporting on. So we get phone calls. I've actually talked to the head imam over there several times, and we got phone calls from him a week and a half ago, and he asked if we could possibly arrange to get him some food. So that's what we're part of what we're doing right now, and we're putting the word out. That's why we're sending it out here. We don't have any mechanisms yet in place to take donations other than the landing page at the American Voice, and if you want to contribute to that, in the there's a section you have to fill out in there, just put food airlift, and it's a donation to the food airlift, and that'll be set aside to go to that. We have the ability to get the food. What we don't have is the money to pay for the gas and the food and the airplane to get them there. So thanks for bringing that up.
Now let me clear up something. Yeah, excellent call. Thank you. We appreciate that. And let me clear up something, because this I brought this up yesterday when I spoke with Bill. Bill was talking about, you know, imams and et cetera. And I asked him, I said, you know, are there Christian Muslims? And he said, yes, there are a large group of kind of like Messianic Jews, which are Jewish people that believe in Jesus. There's also apparently a bunch of more traditionally Muslim people that also have Messianic beliefs and believe in Jesus. So they're, you know, and I thought I wanted to clear that up so people, you know, they don't think they're, you know, donating to the imam, so to speak, per se. That imam is representing a group of people who do believe in the Lord and Savior. Is that correct, Bill? Am I right on that?
Yes, you are. And I believe they are called the Sunnis. There's two sects of Muslims. One's called, I think, the Shiite, and the other one's called the Sunnis. And sure. I believe it's the Sunnis are the ones that are the Christian side of that. So anyway, we're reaching out, trying to get those people some food. We're trying to make the world aware that what's going on in the Ukraine, in my opinion, is just a false flag to keep everybody's attention away to the millions and millions that they're starving to death.
Absolutely. Well, once again, I'm going to reiterate it again here from James Defense News. This is the world's leading defense, open source defense intelligence publication. Reaction to Russia's invasion of Ukraine helped push defense budgets back into expansion. Recovering from a pandemic contraction in the defense industry, defense spending this year grew to a new high of $8 trillion worldwide. They're looking at this as at a global level. How much is the global defense spending increases? It's not about
Putin versus the New World Order in Ukraine and all this other stuff. They're operating at the behest of those who print the money and those who make the weapons. And it's clear that the industry is steering the war, not vice versa.
Bill, real quick. The other problem is the mainstream churches in America. They're all tied to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
They're all raising money for them. It's all for them. And they, you know, like I said, you're not going to learn it. I got out of the church mainstream because of that. So anyway, God bless you both. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the support. If you enjoy this broadcast, people, let the network know that you like this broadcast. If you value the information, let it be known, and maybe we'll be able to do this again in the near future. So, Bill, back to where do we leave off? Now, what I'd like you to do is, was there something called the Court of Common Pleas that you said is part of the system of land law, so to speak, for lack of a better word, versus the corporate dead entity represented by Esquire's corporate law? Was the Court of Common Pleas, and how did that play into all of this? Because it sounded like the way you described it, there's an entire court system waiting for us to use it in common law. Is that an oversimplification, or is that accurate?
No, that's pretty much right on the money. It's there. The offices are there. The offices have just been vacated by the parties that are supposed to be in the seats operating that system. And that was part of the whole scheme of the what they called the Civil War, okay, to pull us away from how the people are supposed to provide our own self-government under a Republican form of government that's guaranteed. I want to read some stuff into here, but I want to get this in here because it kind of closes the door here and shows you what they've done. Now, so we have a system that was set aside for us. There's another system that was granted to the federal government, its jurisdiction pursuant to Title IV, subsection 72, you can go look that up. The jurisdiction of the federal government is only operable within the district and nowhere else, unless there's a congressional legislation created by the Congress specifically or a person to it that extends that jurisdiction outside. Now, what they did, and we show you that, and a lot of what I'm reading here is out of our book that we currently have available called They Be Pirates, Matey. And you can get to that book through the AmericanVoice.org webpage. So I want to read you three separate little things here that will kind of close this door and hopefully meld all this together for you. So one of the first things I'm going to read here is a warning from Jefferson, okay? Quote, at the establishment of our Constitution, the judiciary bodies were supposed to be the most helpless and harmless members of government. Experience, however, soon showed in what way they worked to become the most dangerous, that the insufficiency of the means provided for their removal gave them a freehold and irresponsibility in office, that their decisions, seeming to concern individual suitors only, passed silent and unheeded by the public at large, that these decisions nevertheless become law by precedent, sapping by little and by little the foundations of the Constitution and working its change by construction before anyone has perceived that invisible and helpless worm has been visibly employed in consuming its substance. The truth, man is not made to be trusted for life if secured against all liability to account, which is exactly what they've done for themselves in the judiciary. They can do whatever they want to do, okay? Now, we, on the other hand, are limited, okay? Now, I want to read you some stuff here that's pretty bizarre, but this is right out of decisions of the federal courts. These are the general immunities that pertain to the prosecutors, the judges, and all government agents across the board, including all the cops. One, a prosecutor may violate civil rights in initiating prosecution and presenting cases in the United States Supreme Court. That's a 76 case called Imbler, I-M-B-L-E-R versus Pachman, P-A-C-H-T-M-A-N. You can find it at 424 U.S. 409, a 1976 case. Number two, there's nine of these, so I'm going to go through these real quick. This is important you understand this. Number two, immunity extends to all activities closely associated with litigation or potential litigation. Second Circuit Federal Court of Appeals, Davis versus Grusmeyer, 996 Fed 2nd, 617, a 93 case. Number three, a prosecutor may knowingly use false testimony and suppress evidence. It's a United States Supreme Court decision, again in Emblier versus the Pac-Man. Number four, prosecutor may file charges without any investigation. Doesn't have to look at anything, just file a charge. Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, Myers versus Morris, 810 F period 2D 1337, 86 case. Number five, a prosecutor may file charges outside of his jurisdiction. How is that possible? Oh, well, they're immune. Eighth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals in Myers versus Morris. Once again, the 810 Fed 2nd. 1337. Number six, a prosecutor may knowingly offer perjured testimony. Okay, it's okay to lie in courts now. So if it's okay for lie, I can tell you this is an absolute fact. In Columbus, Ohio, the Columbus Police Department doesn't they don't call it giving testimony. They say they're going to go down and test a lie in a court case. That's their term. So under number six, that was Jones versus Shank Land. It can be found at 800 Fed 2nd 1310. It's an 87 case. Number seven, a prosecutor can suppress exculpatory evidence. A prosecutor can suppress exculpatory evidence. In other words, he can take evidence he knows that would exonerate you, and he can't prosecute you because he has evidence that proves that you are innocent. He can throw that in file 13 and not bring it before the court. That's Hensel versus Gretstein, G-E-R-T-S-T-E-I-N, 608 Fed 2nd, 654, 1979 case. Eighth, prosecutors are immune from lawsuit for conspiring with judges to determine the outcome of judicial proceedings.
Oh, my God.
That's really fair, isn't it? That's the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals in Eshelman versus Pope, 793 Fed 2nd, 1072, a 1986 case. And the last one, a prosecutor may knowingly file charges against innocent persons for a crime that never occurred. That's the 10th Circuit Federal Court of Appeals in Norton versus Lydell, 620 Fed 2nd, 1375. It's a 1980 case. Now, if any one of us would even think about doing any of this, they'd have us in jail in the morning. But it's okay for them to do that. And we think we have rights. I think everything that I just mentioned, there's nine of them, just went out the window. Okay, now the last thing I want, there's a couple more things. The next thing I want to read in here is for people to understand, who are these people? Who are these prosecutors, these foreign agents of foreign power? And to define that, I'm going to point you all to the 81st Congress Second Session, Report number 3123, September 21st, 1950. It's the Committee of the Whole House on the State of the Union and ordered, and it's called the Report on the National Lawyers Guild, the Legal Bulwark of the Communist Party. And I quote, The National Lawyers Guild is the foremost legal bulwark of the Communist Party, its front organizations, and controlled unions. Since in its inception, it has never failed to rally to the legal defense of the Communist Party and individual members thereof, including known espionage agents. It has consistently fought against the national, state, and local legislation aimed at curbing the communist conspiracy. It has been most articulate in its attacks upon agencies of the government seeking to expose or prosecute the subversive activities of the communist network, including national, state, and local investigative committees, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and law enforcement agencies general. Through its affiliation with the International Association of Democratic Lawyers and International Communist Front Organization, the National Lawyers Guild has constituted itself as an agent of a foreign principle hostile to the interest of the United States. It has gone far afield to oppose the foreign policies of the United States in line with current line of Soviet Union. It goes on further down and says, in order to attract non-communists to serve as a cover for its actual purpose as an appendage to the Communist Party, the National Lawyers Guild poses benevolently as a professional organization which shall function as an effective social force in the service of the people to the end that human rights shall be regarded as more sacred than property rights. Now, maybe we can start seeing the big picture and why our country is in the position it's in. Because these law firms, of which there was originally only 19 governmental services that were contracted to the Crown under the original grants, that would mean 19 federal agencies to provide those for us. I think we are way, way over the limit of these agencies, and all of these agencies, the vast majority of them, are nothing more or nothing less than law firms posing as if they're government service providers, and they are there for the special purpose of eating out our substance, which is exactly what they've done, which is exactly what was complained of in the Declaration of Independence. Last thing I want to do real quick here. Yeah. When you see this stuff. Okay, so you can go pull this section right out of the archives, a report on the National Lawyers Guild, the legal bulwark of the Communist Party. It's I give it to you here. It's 81st Congress, second session, House Report number 3123. The union calendar number for the date is a union calendar number 1078. It's September 17th, 1950, long before most of us were even born. Now, I'm going to go to the book, The American Admiralty, Its Jurisdiction and Practice, and this should show you where our power lies.
Yeah, so go to subsections. Maybe we can skip this last break if the network wouldn't mind it. Critical information. Go ahead, Bill, continue. You've got about 6 minutes.
Okay. Subsection 23 of the American Admiralty, Its Jurisdiction and Practice, states, I quote, "The right to proceed in rem is the distinctive remedy of the Admiralty and hence administered exclusively by the United States Courts and Admiralty. No state can confer jurisdiction upon its courts to proceed in rem, nor could Congress give such power to a state since it would be contrary to the constitutional grant of such power to the federal government. The savings clause of the Judiciary Act and of the Judicial Code does not contemplate admiralty remedies in a common law court." Right there, they're admitting that those common law courts exist. Let me go on. Quote, "Its meaning is that in cases of concurrent jurisdiction in admiralty and at common law, the jurisdiction in the latter, the common law, is not taken away. The remedy which state courts may administer, though it may be subject to regulation and modification by state statute, must be according to the general course of the common law." Now, that should prove to you
right out of the original grant, that we have these things that are supposed to be common law courts. We mentioned earlier, they're called the courts of common pleas in the county. In every county in this state, in every state in this country, had or does have a court of common pleas. Those are the courts where the common law is to be exercised by the people. Okay? Now, there's been many, many instances in this country where the grand jury has tried to be brought into existence, and every one of them failed, and that's part of what went on with the Montana Freeman. What we've discovered is the reason that they all failed is because they all forgot items in the recipe to seat a grand jury properly. And we're trying, we have five books that we have, hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months we'll get all five of them in print. And we've taken these old decisions out of the old texts from these common law courts. We're putting together a operator's manual. We have one here with all the forms that we're going to go back and revamp a little bit to bring it up to current. It's called the Common Law Grand Jury Manual. It's got all the forms on how to do this. The key element is the sheriff. You don't have any sheriffs that are outside of the influence of the Bar Association. All the sheriffs are controlled by the prosecuting attorney's office. If you look in your county records on most all of your foreclosure cases, if you happen to go down and pull out the pleadings that are placed there by these attorneys, you'll find that many of them in the county court starts out with, this is a procedure in rem. And I just read to you right here that the right to proceed in rem is the distinctive remedy of the admiral, which would indicate...
Quickly define rem before we close tonight out. Yep.
Okay. An action in rem is where the jurisdiction comes against a thing, like a 1956 Cadillac or a boat or a house, or how about a mortgage agreement? They don't foreclose on the house. They foreclose on a non-existent loan that you can prove they never provided. Okay? So all of these are elements that juries need to understand. And most people, if you ask them what jurisdiction is, they can't even tell you what jurisdiction means. You ask the judges. Even the judges will tell you they don't understand jurisdiction. Okay, so if you like what's happening in your country, by all means, go back to Disneyland. See you on the couch. Make sure the beer is cold. Okay? If you're concerned with where your country's headed, okay, you need to jump on board here and get exercised your brain. Okay? Get the gray matter going again, and let's take our country back. It's not hard. We don't have to go to the cartridge box. Everything's there. It's left for us to do. We just have to get off our butts and do it. And I thank you guys for having me on here. I thank you for having me on here.
You're welcome, Bill.
Hey,
thank you for coming. Man, your information is of extreme value. I hope the network will ask us to come back another time to expand upon this. I want to get into the 12 presumptions sometime in the future. Those are fascinating. Excellent presentation.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much for being there. TheAmericanVoice.org, folks. Get involved. TheAmericanVoice.org. And let the network know if you enjoyed tonight's broadcast, and maybe we can do this again. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for listening to the National Intel Report. We'll see you again in the future. Take care.
Looks like, but one idea made news headlines yesterday. The Tennessee legislature passed a bill on Wednesday that would require drunk drivers to pay child support. The legislation, which has yet to be signed into law, requires DUI drivers convicted of either vehicular homicide or aggravated vehicular homicide due to intoxication to pay child support if the parent killed in the crash has any minor children. This may be one of the most appropriate punishments the government has ever handed out. Criminal justice reform needs more ideas like this. Ideas that benefit society and or pay restitutions to victims. Find more political news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, civis pacem, parabellum.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.